You may be seated. We normally would have Elder Nick teach us or preach to us out of Genesis 12. Elder Nick contacted me this afternoon, and then we talked, and he thought, which I agreed, it would be wise for us to talk about today's sermon. I don't want in any way for that to have in your minds that we don't value the evening preaching time, because we do. There's been a couple of times where Elder Nick has thought it was wise for us to discuss what we heard today, so we're going to do that for as long as we do that.
All right, good evening, everyone. I will read the closing thought to help us get our minds back on today's sermon. Jesus promised the apostles that he would send the Holy Spirit to carry on the ministry that he, Jesus, had begun with them. The Holy Spirit is still working through God's adopted children to witness of Christ Jesus. He lives in us and causes us to bear eternal fruit in the face of hatred and persecution by the proclamation of the good news of the glory of God to be found in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's talk about today's sermon. What observations do you have? What affirmations do you have? What's the opposite of affirmation? Convictions do you have? What questions do you have? What did today's sermon do for you? How was it used by God in your life today?
Mr. Fitzpatrick.
So one thing that I thought quite a bit about this afternoon, the candidate I talked some, was that at one point in time you said that we would be the prosecutors. And I understand that we, as we explain truth to people, that they would be more prosecuted by the Holy Spirit, if they were, it wouldn't really be by us. But we had trouble talking about that and making it perfectly clear, because most times the Scripture talks about us being prosecuted, and this was a different use of the word prosecutor, I guess.
Okay, so the word for convict is in the Greek, it's a legal term, and it has to do with a conviction, a prosecution. So so Jesus tells the 11, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and when he comes, here's what he's going to do. He's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and in judgment, of judgment. And how he's going to do that is you're going to testify. And then we looked on to say, we have not seen the Holy Spirit sitting at lunch with your daughter himself. We have not seen God himself sitting at a lunch table with your daughter preaching the gospel to her, telling her of sin and righteousness and judgment. How that's going to happen is the Holy Spirit's going to live in us, and he's going to do that ministry through us. So the conviction, the work is of the Holy Spirit, both in the conviction and in the preaching, in the speaking, and in the doing something in the heart. But the mechanism that gets used is us. So by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we will present to people a case that will convict them. Mr. Fitzpatrick, Sophia. He's not. Right back to Mr. Fitzpatrick.
So I believe I understand that and don't disagree. I think where our conversation then went was, do we have to be sure to explain that we as the person talking is not doing the convicting, but what we understand about who God is and what the scripture says is what would be convicting to them rather than, I guess, judgment. What judgment came up in our conversation?
Sure. So I think that we very much are inclined to do that because we want to make sure they're not mad at us.
But that's accurate.
It is accurate. But I'm saying, and so there's nothing wrong. It's kind of like the doctrine of election is accurate. But to tell somebody, an unbeliever, the doctrine of election may or may not be useful. What I'm saying there, Bob, is we are very prone to not want to be hated and persecuted. And so in our desire to not be hated or persecuted, we want to use whatever. And I'm not saying you can't. But those are true things. But I guess you just have to consider, why am I saying those things? You know, Mom came over for lunch, and, you know, Mom said, boy, that concept of being a prosecutor, I don't do that. I said, right. You don't, and why not? Because she doesn't want to be disliked by the people she's talking to. So in her desire to not be disliked, she doesn't prosecute. She gives a softer message. Look, the message is this. Sin, righteousness, which you don't have, sin, which you do have, judgment that you're under, and the solution is Jesus Christ. And that is the message that the Holy Spirit has given us and will empower us to give. So, again, Bob, whether or not we tell them, look, I'm not judging you, it's fine to say those words. It is fine, especially if you see a reaction of mad at you. And it's going to digress from the discussion. But the reality is, you are the messenger, and the message will irritate.
Well, I guess where I was going with that follow-up question was more that we are not in judgment of anybody, and that we have, I guess we don't want to be, I don't know, just...
I think we are in judgment.
Yep. Good. So Kathy and Bob, you say, Kevin says, I think we are in judgment. So again, understand something. One of the truths of the scriptures is we are not the judge. We know that, don't we? Do we know who's the judge? Who is the perfect judge that will judge in perfect righteousness? Christ, God. So we aren't the judge. We are simply being used by the Spirit to deliver a message that does judge. We aren't the judge. So we aren't judging. And Kathy, I'm glad you guys are having this discussion. You're trying to think that through, because too many times we give this message as if we are the judge. And that's not the message. We're not God. But here's what we do know. Every human being is born a sinner. Every human being denies the truth that God they know exists in their sin. Every human being is under the wrath of God. No human being is good enough to go to heaven on their own. Every human being needs Jesus. And just like Jesus didn't come to judge the world, did he? The first time. Did he? Why?
Because he came to seek and save that which was lost.
Yep, and he didn't judge because
they didn't know.
They're already condemned. We're not judging anyone. They're already condemned. So when I talk to my son Jack, I'm not judging him. He's already condemned. He needs Christ. It's not my judgment. I didn't write the rules. God is God. And so the message is a message of condemnation. But it's not me condemning and it's not me judging. It's exactly. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword that cuts between the joint and marrow. The word of God will cut.
So that's along the lines of what I was going to say a minute ago, is what are we bringing to that conversation? Our opinions or God's opinions? So is it you're lazy, no good, do nothing, Or are we bringing scripture or biblical concepts to bear on the person's life?
And how will we know? Because the Bible, right here in the message we in the sermon we heard today, what is the Spirit of? He's the Spirit of truth. So if we're speaking in a Spirit-led fashion, all we're doing is telling people the truth. It's not even God's opinion. It is the truth, which is fine, but it's the truth. I'm not giving you my opinion. I am telling you the truth because I'm being led by the Spirit of truth, who has brought to mind the things that he has taught, who's bringing nothing but the message of the Father and the Son. And now we are the prosecutors led by the Spirit. If we're being led by our flesh, will we be a prosecutor? No, in either sense, negative or positive, if you will, judgmentally or softly. If we're not being Spirit-led, then we're bringing a different message than the message we're to bring. But there's a clear message that is to be brought that the Spirit will bring. Mr. Miano, Sophia. He's around. Go around that way and walk down the aisle. You'll see him. And the interesting thing about that is God is not only the prosecutor, he is the judge. So in this courtroom scenario that you're speaking of, God is the prosecutor and the judge. We are going to use, the Holy Spirit's going to prosecute or convict through our words, but we aren't the judge. We aren't even the prosecutor. But we will be giving a message that prosecutes, that lays out a case of guilt. I think that's something to remember. When you're speaking to an unbeliever, you are going to lay a case out of guilt. They're guilty.
When I talked to Brother Tony after he had got done preaching that night in Kenya, that's exactly what I heard and what I wanted to communicate to him. So in his preaching that night, more than I've heard Tony preach a lot, but this particular night, he was prosecuting. He made this case. And I want to tell you, he made an airtight case. That's what was so remarkable in my mind that night. He was kind of talking to what we would call deceived Christians. This is who he was kind of preaching to. And from every angle and from every scriptural way, I'm sure that the Spirit brought to mind, he was making this case against the deceived unbeliever in that crowd, whoever was standing, whoever was within his earshot of that courtyard. And he sounded like a prosecutor in a courtroom. And it was beautiful. And my mind, as I was listening to it, was being transformed. And my mind is being transformed today. And that's one of the reasons I wanted us to talk about this tonight. Because I think most, if not all of us, need our minds transformed in some manner of how we view evangelism and gospel proclamation. We need to become the more of the mindset of we are, because of the Spirit of God living in us, we are prosecutors of those we are evangelizing. It is our job, by the power of the Spirit, to make that case, to make God's case from the Scriptures, that they are guilty sinners. although we're not making the case to God, we're making the case to them so they can see their need for Christ. And I think, whatever Sandy said at lunch, and I think, look, the hardest part about evangelism is when we're doing it right, it's probably going to make somebody cry. Or they're going to get really angry at us. Look at the progression that the pastor touched upon this or hit upon this in the sermon. Look at the progression we've just had in John. Chosen to bear fruit, chosen to be persecuted, chosen to be prosecutors. It's no accident those are all together from Jesus. When we function as the prosecutor, we're going to be persecuted, but we're also going to be bearing fruit.
Do we like the reality of sharing eternity with the apostles? Everybody like that? Do we like the reality of being persecuted like the apostles? Problematic. And the Word of God needs to renew our minds. Because, again, there are times, Mr. Simon, Sophia, there are times where I've spoken to Brother Tony where I believe he is being harsh. I believe he is being judgmental. If he's not, it's sure sounding like it. And then he's being not led by the Spirit. I heard him have a discussion with Gabriella the other day. That was a Spirit-led discussion, as far as I could tell. She was a deceived Christian. It's interesting because I thought it was a wonderful discussion that I probably would have been harder on her, I think. I'm not right about that. I'm just saying. But I've seen that, and you've all seen that. And one of the things is, I've watched some of you or have you tell me about conversations you've had that have gone awry, and or I've witnessed sometimes you having discussions with people. And what happens too many times is there becomes an argument. You're upset, they're upset. You don't feel comfortable, don't know enough maybe, so now you start to give your opinions instead of the truth. See, we have to be built up in the truth, led by the Spirit, so that our discussions, as far as we're concerned, no matter what the tone of voice is, our desire and what we are going to do is tell them the truth. And we ought not be angry. I found in my own life, and I think it's true in everybody's life, the less you know about a subject, the more you're going to argue about it. The more confident you are about what you're speaking, the more calm you'll remain. It's true of me. If I have more data why the Steelers are better than the Packers, I'm going to get a lot less. And I do have a lot of data, by the way. But a lot of data. But if I didn't, then we come into that argument. If I don't have the statistical background in my mind like Nick might, then I'm going to become argumentative or upset. But this is true in our gospel proclamation. When we're not comfortable knowing the truth, knowing sin and righteousness and judgment, knowing people's needs for Christ, being able, if we get a question from a Roman Catholic about purgatory and we don't know enough about it, we may end up in an argument. Well, is purgatory really the problem? No. It's sin, righteousness, judgment, and Christ. And where that falls is, purgatory is missing Christ. Jay.
So, I guess this is mostly just an observation about the kind of general gospel preaching, at least that I've seen in the past. You know, we're not comfortable being that prosecutor or getting in, you know, having someone not like us. And I think that explains why Romans 3:23 is, mm-hmm. And I know that most of the gospel preaching I've heard in the past, and a lot of the gospel tracts out there start with that verse, and then that's kind of the end of the treatment of sin. And I think, anyway, I just think we're touching on why that is. I mean, we just don't really like to get personal. personal. It's kind of theoretical. It's like if someone were to be a sinner.
Just in case you are.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not going to tell you are. Yeah, I know you got these things. Look, listen to Peter speaking to the Sanhedrin. And try to put yourself in that place. Far greater danger than we ever experienced. He's standing in front of the Sanhedrin. The rulers of the Jews. Rulers of the people and elders of Israel. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So let's stop there. The Sanhedrin called them in to tell them to stop preaching about Christ. Okay? They're standing in front of the Sanhedrin. They say, look, you're judging us right now. You're judging us because we are preaching Christ. And now we're being judged because we healed the lame man. And you're judging us. We're literally on trial in front of the Sanhedrin because you're upset that we are telling of Christ, giving him the credit for that healing. Then he says, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised to the dead, by this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now, there is salvation in the name, for there is no other name under heaven given by among which men must be saved. Then it says they were so bold. They're standing in front of the Sanhedrin. They're being put on trial for preaching the name of Christ, for giving him credit for the healing. And they then, in that conversation, say, you crucified him. I'm going to tell you right to your face, it's Christ. These are people that had them imprisoned. They were imprisoned because of their healing and their preaching. And then they were brought in front of the Sanhedrin, and this is what they tell them. And then it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. They realized they had been with Jesus. Look at at Pentecost. What did they come up and say to him? They were cut to the heart, and they said, what must we do to be saved? He told them of their sin. There were no punches being pulled. You go look at the book of Acts and you look at the early apostles and how they speak to people. They were not concerned about being hated and persecuted. They believed what Jesus had told them. The Holy Spirit was in them, had come to them, and they believed him. They expected persecution and hatred. We have been sold a bill of goods in North American Christianity that has been told we can be gospel proclaimers without being hated. We can tell people about Jesus without them hating us. Well, sure, you can be Joel Osteen. Nobody hates him. Except God. See, God hates Joel Osteen because he's a liar. And he travels the world to make a proselyte and makes him twice the sons of hell that he is. That bothers some of you when I talk like that, maybe. Why?
So I think one of the reasons I think it's profitable to talk about this tonight is, in addition to everything we've talked about, again, we've been presented the proper understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Really big deal in our culture, nation, globally. And I say globally, not discally. That's another joke for another day, but the Holy Spirit of the Godhead, all of the Godhead is misunderstood, but the Holy Spirit, his ministry, who he is and his ministry is completely mangled and destroyed by the enemy, by false apostles and false teachers and false prophets around the world.
Somebody tell me, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we see it in today's passage? What is it? Okay. That's true. Convict the world of sin, righteousness, and justice, judgment. Be our helper. Okay. What is it? What's he going to come do? Testify of me. Look at verse 26 of chapter 15. When the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Then look at verse 14 of chapter 16. He will glorify me. What will the Holy Spirit do? Testify of Christ, glorify Christ. What will the Holy Spirit not do? Draw any attention to himself. That's what he won't do. You cannot find anywhere in Scripture where the Holy Spirit draws attention to himself. Look, God the Father testifies of the Son. God the Son testifies of the Son. God the Holy Spirit testifies of the Son. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to testify to Christ and glorify him. Prosecuting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But he's testifying. How does he convict the world of these things? By testifying of Christ. Same thing Christ said. I'm not giving you more bread. I'm the bread you need. If you don't believe in me, you're under the wrath of God. You abide in the condemnation if you don't believe in me. It was all about Jesus and being the way to the Father. Being the way to be reconciled with God. And that is what the Spirit will do. That's how you can know if you're being Spirit-led. If you're glorifying Christ. If you're testifying of Christ.
So,
whether it's in your marriage, in your relationship with somebody else, in the words you're speaking, you'll be able to tell if you're being Spirit-led or fleshly led.
So one of the points I wanted to make was that it is common for either us or many people to say, well, I want to be filled with the Spirit, right? I want the Spirit to be working in me and through me. Well, look at Acts chapter 4, what that meant, what that really means according to the Scripture. There's a couple different applications. This is the main one according to Scripture. Peter, filled with the Spirit, said to them, the Sanhedrin, the religious rulers of their land, the men with great power in their religion, you crucified Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, prosecuting sin, righteousness, judgment. That's being filled with the Spirit, the primary way. If you use that phrase, to what end? So that you feel nice and happy? So that you laugh in the Spirit? So that you know, do all kinds of blasphemous things in the Spirit's name? Whether it be the far end of charismania? Or just that you feel happy and glad and joyful? Filled with the Spirit, look at Acts chapter 4 and see what it says and meditate on it. It's a big deal for us. And our time is about up. And you know, Pastor kind of touched on this before, and I wrote down this note in the sermon. Who wants to say, well, that's just not me? Look, that's just not me. I can't be a prosecutor. I'm not a prosecutor. Look, that's for those who are indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. That's just not true. Now, I need to repent. I need to repent because my mind needs to continue to be changed on this. I guarantee it. If you're one saying, that's not me, the reason that when I wrote that down, he was talking about 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself. See if the Spirit lives in you. Examine yourself. See if there's repentance needed in your life.
Concerning being a prosecutor. You know, last week, we had a number of confessions. Jay's comes to mind. There were many others. I'm not a prosecutor of my parents, my grandparents. I want them to like me. I got a lot to lose. And look, it says Jesus, I mean, I don't know how much more clear it could be that he came to separate families. I don't know how much more clear it could be that it's going to be hatred and persecution. And I just want to say this one more time because I think it's really useful for me and for us. We like the thought of being in glory with the apostles. Do we like the thought of being hated and persecuted like the apostles? We like the thought of being in glory with Jesus. Do we like the thought of being hated and persecuted as our King was? I don't mean yippee-yahoo like it. But I mean, do we rejoice in that? Or do we avoid it like the plague? Be encouraged. Be renewed. Change. See, and that doesn't mean pick up the phone and go pick an argument with somebody. But it does mean when you're sitting with the people that you love, that you will be a prosecutor. Examine yourself. Repent.
Chosen to bear fruit, chosen to be persecuted, chosen to be a prosecutor. Right out of my Bible. Let's be transformed. Let's have our minds renewed. Let's live for Christ.